Billy Joe, I'd like you to take your Bibles with me, if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm going to actually read to you quite a block of scripture. So I'm going to ask that you really pay attention as I read down through, because I want you to get the whole context of what's happening in this text. Going to read to you out of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 on down through. And what we're going to find is the Apostle Paul writing to the church in Corinth, and he's talking about the churches throughout Macedonia. So I want you to visualize with me the Middle East. Believe it or not, the Middle East hasn't changed any. There's still the Mediterranean Sea, the coast where Israel is, across the Mediterranean Sea. You can go all the way across the Med, all the way to Italy if you want to. But we're not going to go that far. We're going to go north. So visualize with me, have the coast of Israel. You're going to go north. You're going to hang a left through Turkey, today Turkey. You're going to blip across the Mediterranean over, and there's the city of Corinth, right on the edge. It's a coastal city, a primary city for the Roman Empire. Very much a industrial connecting city as far as all the trade that's happening coming out of Europe and getting ready to go down along the coast throughout the Middle East all the way down to Egypt. Lots coming out of Corinth. So he's writing to the church in Corinth, but he's writing about a block of churches back on the other side of the Mediterranean throughout that whole Macedonian range. And he's writing to them as an example to inspire them. So I want you to be inspired as I read this text by the faithfulness of the Macedonians as he's trying to inspire the Corinthians. So listen as I read down through 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, in the abundance of their joy and the riches of their liberality, for to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave them their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that hath gathered much had gathered nothing left over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord, and a declaration of your ready mind. So as we look in this text, what we find the apostle doing under the inspiration of God is bringing before the church in Corinth the example of the church or churches throughout the region of the Macedonians. And what he's saying to them is, listen, I want to inspire you to get involved in missions. I want to inspire you to do that which Christ has called us to do in reaching out to the uttermost parts of the world. And he references it as ministering to the saints. He says the Macedonian churches pleaded with us, let us have a part in ministering to the saints throughout all that area. And so Paul is saying to the church in Corinth, jump on board. Let's do this together. Let's be inspired by their faithfulness, because that's what the early church was doing. You and I, here we are in the year 2019. And can you believe it? Rapidly getting ready to pass the halfway mark. It's really halfway, almost over. It's hard for me to believe. The years are flying by. So here we are in 2019. And still today, we're looking back to the Bible and when we're saying, God, how do you want it done? How do you want the world evangelized? And what's my part? What can I do? Well, we can do exactly what they were doing. We can step up and say, well, Lord, let me see. Let me be inspired by the early Christians, the early church, and how they did it. So within this text, from verses 10 down through 14, I want to show you the divine advice that God gives us simply about missions giving. Because that's really what we've been talking about this month, is the need around the world and our part to meet that need in getting the gospel out there. So then, what is the advice he gives us? First of all, he shows us that we need to have the right attitude. Look with me at verse 11. He says, as he's talking to the church in Corinth about the church of Macedonia, he says, now therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. But I want you to notice the attitude he references. He says there was a readiness to will. In other words, within them was a readiness to say, yes, I want to know about being a part of this effort to get the gospel around the world. I want to be ready to understand and to absorb this truth, to take it in within myself. Because there's a lot of folks in the world who are not ready to know. They don't care. They don't care that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of all humankind. They don't care that if people go to eternity without Christ, that they themselves will go to hell. They don't care. They don't care that God has prepared a place for all those who have received Christ, because they don't care that there is even a heaven and a hell. They just don't care. They're not ready. They're not willing. They're not open. But you and I are not those people. You and I are people who say, well, wait a minute. I do believe just that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. I do believe there's a heaven and a hell. I do believe that people's eternities hang in the balance as to whether they receive or reject the gift that Christ has given. I do care. I'm ready. I want to know. So we come down a little farther in our text. We've already discerned that, yes, we have a readiness to know. Listen to verse 12. He says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. All of a sudden, we move from a place of having a readiness to know to a willingness to know. That's another step, isn't it? That's like another click on the stove. You get the little knot, you click, click, click. And I'm gonna engage you guys by coming down here to where you are. So I'm gonna grab my Bible with me, because I'm looking out here. You all stayed up way too late last night. It's a little too warm in here. And so I'm going to come down with you. Amen? Next time you doze off, I'm going to reach right. No, he didn't doze off. But when you look at that verse, you notice him talking about attitude. He's saying a readiness and then a willingness. The readiness is saying, okay, I'm open. The willingness is when you say to yourself, aha, I get it. And I am willing to do it. I look over here and I see Miss Thomas. What are they, sensei or? Master Thomas, as she teaches karate?
Taekwondo.
I can't even get Thailand and Taiwan right. Taekwondo. So at first, she approaches somebody like Mike. She says, Mike, you ever thought about learning Taekwondo? See, she's trying to find out, is he ready to know? And then he says, I've thought a little bit about it. I'd be willing. Aha, that's the next step. He's willing to learn how to kick the tiles out of the ceiling. He's willing to learn all those moves. So as we look at this, we see that he's bringing us to a position mentally, emotionally, our attitude. Are we ready to be involved in reaching the world for Christ? Look with me down, if you would, chapter 9, verse 12. He really takes them all the way through, and not verse 12, chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. It says, for as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. So he says to them, he says, I know that you were open. I know that you were willing. In fact, you were forward to do it. In other words, they had an attitude to put it into gear and to get it done. So that's an attitude that we have to foster and fan, and we go ahead and keep it alive and keep it going. It's one of the reasons that we do every year some form of missions emphasis. Whether we do a missions conference or we do a missions emphasis for a month like we have done, it's all about getting our minds ready and open and for us to step up and say, yes, I'm willing to move forward in reaching the world for Christ. So then if we go from attitude, we have to go to implementation. And that's what we find in this text. We find him talk about the implementation of that attitude. Look with me at verse 10 here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, and herein I give my advice. That's actually where we got the title of the message, Divine Advice. Did you get that? I want you to be impressed this morning. I worked hard on this. No, I'm just teasing you. But here he says, and herein I give my advice. For this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. So he says, I'm going to talk to you about the implementation. He says, actually, a year ago, you had made a decision to be involved in ministering to the saints through, just like the churches in Macedonia had done. He says to the church in Corinth, I know you implemented a plan a year ago to be involved in reaching the world through your faith, through your giving, that you might make a difference for the cause of Christ. So they made a yearly commitment. Isn't that interesting that still today we do the same thing? We say, God, what would you do? What would you give through me for world missions for a year? Show me, lay on my heart that I might do my part. Just like this early church here. So they implemented it by getting involved in a yearly plan. Look with me, if you would, down to verse 11. It says, now therefore, perform the doing of it. So we find him talking to them about taking it from attitude and plan to implementation. He says, let's do it. Let's get it done. Amen? It's just like Master Thomas here. It does no good to have a whole row of boys and girls who want to learn how to do Taekwondo if they don't get up, right? They got to get up and get after it. And I've never even taken Taekwondo, and I know that. So that would be no different than if right now I had all of you stand up with me and do head and shoulders, knees and toes. See, I would get you out of the seat and get you up involved. We would implement the doing of something, wouldn't we? Well, that's what he's talking to them about. The Macedonian church had been people who got it done. And so he's saying to the church in Corinth, let's follow their example. They had the right attitude. Now we need to implement it. And that's what we do. Every year we say to ourselves as a church, what can we do to reach the world for Christ? Can we all go? Well, that's an open invitation. Any of us could go. I look back here and I see Miss Gilbert, Justice Gilbert, right there. Stand up, Justice, if you don't mind. Yes. So Justice just got back from Egypt because she's a missionary with YWAM. You were in Israel, but didn't you go over to Egypt?
I went to Egypt last year.
All right. I can't get Taiwan and Thailand right. Israel. Was Israel the only place you went? Didn't you go into Jordan?
Yeah.
Okay. Whew. So she's a missionary with a missions group called YWAM. This is a young lady who grew up in our own church, went off to school, gone for her YWAM training. Still, it's not like they changed her. She's still the same happy-go-lucky, cheery girl she always has been. But she's a missionary for the Lord Jesus Christ, home visiting her mom and dad, once in a while saying hi to her brother. You know, there's a connection there. In church with us this morning. So when we talk about missions, we're not talking about something that's not a part of our church. Missions is a part of who we are as a church. We support many missionaries, even one of our own young ladies from the church. So he's talking to the church in Corinth. He's telling them, he's saying, we need to put into action the performing of the doing of it. Look with me, if you would, at the verse 11 again. I want you to see a little farther down in the verse. He says, now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. It's very interesting that God talks to us about doing more than talking about it. How many of you had an opportunity to watch this week on, they had a whole group of people talking to some interviewer, the bunch of politicians, and they made a million and one promises. Did anybody you turn that on and turn it off or anything like that? Bunch of you turned it on, turned it off. And you heard, I only watched a tiny bit of it, and then I thought to myself, I can't even afford to watch this. Never mind do what they're saying. But they made more promises than a junior higher running for class president. I mean, it was amazing. The difference is you and I who have lived long enough, we know a lot of talk, not much going to be done. The performing of it is a whole other story than the talking about it. It's easy to say, let's do this and this and this. It's really hard to do this, this, and this. Is it not? Is that not the truth? You know, you might take a newlywed like Rose here, who grew up in Taiwan, and she might say to Mike, and this is because you sit on the front row, so she might say to Mike, now Mike, tonight when you get off duty, when you come home, I'm going to make you a beautiful roast, and I'm going to have green bean almondines, and I'm going to go ahead and have scalloped potatoes, and I'm going to have this beautiful, I'll have burning candles. It's going to be a beautiful romantic evening. Now, that doesn't that sound good? But that just doesn't happen, does it? No, she's got to work her tail off to get that thing done. She's got to go find the perfect roast. She's got to get the right recipe. She's even got to watch the meat thermometer so it's not just a hunk of brick of meat, that it's actually an edible roast. Then she's got to get, she's got to go harvest green beans and go harvest almondines and all that stuff. And then she's got to actually construct it. She's got to perform the doing of it. Because if he comes home and there's just cold pizza, he's going to say, what happened? We were having this great romantic dinner. See, it's a different thing for us to talk about it than actually doing it. It's always hard to do it. It's hard to get things done. Every once in a while, somebody will say to me, you know, wow, you guys are always, the church is always busy. You guys are always doing something. And that is very true. And we do that because we want to be actively ministering for the cause of Christ. But it doesn't just happen by accident. It takes a lot of hard work and planning to make it happen. And that's exactly what he's saying to the church in Corinth. He's saying to them, listen, we need to go ahead and perform the doing of it. And by performing the doing of it, as talked about in verse 11, we come on down a little bit farther into verse 24, and we find out why they do it. Why do they do it? Why does Rose make this amazing dinner for Mike? Listen to what he says. Wherefore, show you to them, and before the churches, the proof of your what? The proof of your love. And of our boasting on your behalf. He's saying, I tell people about what a great church you are. That's what Paul is saying. He's saying, your love for Christ is revealed in your participation in supporting missionaries like Justice, who was in Israel but traveled to Jordan. He says, it proves your love for the work of the gospel. No different than when Mike gets off duty and he pulls in the yard and he can see the glowing candlesticks and he walks in and he smells the almondine on the green beans and he thinks to himself, she really loves me. Isn't that what you think? Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you for being there for me. Some people just, they try to throw me under the bus. You're right there. Thank you. So we see it. We see the right attitude. Then we see the implementation according to the scriptures. Then the third thing I want you to see with me is the equity in missions. Equity is evenness, equality. And I want you to see that he's concerned about that. Because people sometimes have the attitude of, well, why am I the one who's always giving? Why am I the one supporting the missionaries? How come somebody's not supporting me? So we come down here. People are the same. There's no new sin under the sun. Humankind is the humankind that was created in the Garden of Eden, unchanged throughout the ages. So listen to what he says. Look with me at verse 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says, for I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may also may be a supply for your want, that there be an equality. So let me explain that to you. Because he's talking to you and I about our abundance and our lack, and their abundance, our abundance and their lack, and their abundance and our lack. And so what's he referencing? You and I have something that Justice doesn't have. And Justice has something that we don't have. And the equity is each of us using our abundance for the other's need. So let me tell you what we have that justice doesn't have. We'll take, because you're sitting on the front row, although I could pick on somebody else, but I'll pick on you.
I won't throw you under the bus.
Does the hospital pay you weekly or every 2 weeks?
Every 2 weeks.
So at the end of 2 weeks, something happens to your bank account.
They put money in it.
They put money in my bank, in his bank account, not mine. Does Porter Hospital put any money in your bank account? No. No, justice is out in the cold as far as Porter Hospital goes. They're not sending her any money. But come tomorrow, where are you going to be?
At work.
You'll be at Porter Hospital at work doing your job. Tomorrow, justice has a whole nother thing. Now, she's on vacation right now, a little break. But she's getting ready to have to do what YWAM wants her to do. And what does YWAM want her to do? Minister the gospel to people. Maybe in Israel. Before that, she was in Egypt. Las Vegas, she was doing a ministry there in Las Vegas, where they were ministering to people on the street. Paul will be at Porter when justice is done vacation. She will be ministering for YWAM for the cause of Christ. His abundance is his salary. Her abundance is her time for ministry. He can't do that because he's got to be at Porter. She can't get money from Porter because she's got to do what YWAM wants her to do. So he has an abundance. I won't even go there. Justice has an abundance of ministry experience, training, and opportunity. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying the equity is that God provides for us all in unique and different ways. And each of us invest what he's given us for the cause of Christ and the furtherance of the gospel. So he's saying my abundance meets the missionary's need. Her abundance meets my need because I can't go. So we grasp that God looks at it in a big picture. If we're not careful, we look at it in a little micro picture. We've got to open up our mind and our eyes and see God's concerned about the whole world. So he uses somebody like this to meet that need and uses somebody like that to meet this need. So that the big picture is we reach the world for Christ. So he's talking to us about having the right attitude, the proper implementation, and understanding the equity of it all. Why? For Christ. For Christ's sake. If we're not careful, we live in such a world that's self-centered. We think everything is about us. It's not. You know, the Bible says that our life is but a vapor. It appears for a time and then it is gone. We are sojourners, the Bible says. We're passing through. We're travelers through our generation. But after our generation is another and another and another until the end times. So each of us during our generation do our part. With the right attitude, we implement God's plan, and he makes it equitable for all that we might reach the world for Christ. So we are at the end of our month of missions emphasis. And every year we go ahead and we have a little card, and this is for our church family. If you're visiting with us this morning, I'm not asking you to do anything like this. This is between the church and its vision and its desire to help God equitably reach the world for Christ. So here we have a little card. There's no place for your name. Nobody's going to call you up. Nobody's going to say, Brother Paul, I know that Porter put X amount of X's into your bank account this week. Nobody's going to call anybody because your name's not even on here. It's between you and God. And every year we do this. We say, Lord, what would you lay on my heart every week to give for world missions? That I might implement my readiness of will. I desire to do my part. And so we write it down. Sandy and I, we write ours down. And then we fold it up and people, the ushers pick them up. And over the next few weeks, we'll pick them up. And then we'll set up our whole year's missions budget based upon not a commitment between you and the church, but between us and God. People will say to me, well, Pastor, you know, what if something happens? Well, you take that up with the Lord. I'm not going to call you up. Maybe God gives you much more and you want to do more. Maybe something happens and you give less. That's between you and God, not me. Now, I'm going to trust by faith, just like you, and we're going to make missions commitments to people like Justice based upon the faith that this is going to come throughout the year. If I could get some ushers, let's pass these out.
Did you count them this year?
Did I count these?
Yeah. I'll ask you. No, you did. That's fine.
So these gentlemen are going to pass these out. If you give me one, Gene, would you give me one? And again, this is for our church family. It's our effort as a church to reach the world. I can't go like Justice, but I can take what God gives Sandy and I as income, and I can do my part. So that's my part. So it's a very interesting thing when we look here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and we find God using the church in Macedonia, those churches, to inspire Corinth. It's interesting when you come down through the text and you see him say that he brags about those churches. He tells others about what they're doing because they're doing the work of God. And for you and I want you to understand that Victory Baptist Church, missionaries, all these missionaries on the back wall that we send $110 a month to, those missionaries count on us. And they write to us, and they write a letter, and they say to us, thank you very much for your support. And many of them note that we don't skip months, because this is what keeps them on the field. Most of the countries they live in, they can't work a job. It's not like you. You can go get a part-time job. Their countries don't allow that. They have to have proof of income, proof of support. So they can't go get a job. If they don't have income coming like this, they're asked to leave the country. So that's why we do what we do, to help them stay and minister and build churches and win souls. So mark that down on there like I did. I marked mine. And then these ushers, come on back up front, guys, and we'll just come right back through. And if they have theirs filled out, we'll gather them back up. We'll do that again tonight. And for the next couple weeks, we'll pick these up until we know what the year's missions offering is. So just fold them in half. You can put the stack of papers anywhere. Thank you, sir. This has nothing to do with the tithes and offerings that pay for the light bills here or the insurance company or the maintenance of the buildings. All of this is about missions. It goes to missionaries. It doesn't stay here. We send it around the world. This week, our missionaries Ron and Christine Enoch in South Sudan wrote me an email on Monday. They said, Pastor Tim and the other supporting pastors, we are in a bad situation. Our generator in South Sudan is an exceedingly hot part of the world. The generator that they use for lights, for their computers, for their well pump, for the AC, and they live in a shipping container that they've converted to a house, so a steel box in an African country. And so they sent me an email and said, Pastor, we have got to raise funds to get a new generator immediately. And they said in the email, is there any way our supporting churches can immediately transfer funds to our account at the missions office to make a commitment on a generator? He had found a big diesel generator over there that would run their whole compound. They have a feeding station for boys and girls. They have a church. They have a school for boys and girls. And so our church sent them $1,000 immediately to help them get a generator. Then other supporting churches, within a day and a half, he emailed me back. He said, praise the Lord, I have enough. I've already contracted for the generator. We do that with our missionaries around the world all the time because of the equity of you and I doing our part while they're doing their part. And I thank you as your pastor that we're able to participate and help in such a way. Let's ask God's blessing on this. Let's ask God's blessing on our missionaries. And let's be dismissed with a word of prayer. Amen? Father in heaven, we come before you, Lord.